Welcome back to the Excellence Cartel. I'm your host today, Jeffrey Sue.
Do I sound like you, Jeff? Is that how you do it? Or does it have to be more like
you do not sound like me. You do not sound like
me.
Does this sound like Jeff Black now?
it's kind of like Batman, but kind of like stupid.
You know? I think it was reasonable.
I'll give it a 7 out of 10. We'll go through our last 7 days. So, hey, Jeff Black, let's start with you. How have your last 7 days been?
Dude, been really cool. I went to the bank last Wednesday and the guy shook my hand and said, I look forward to working with you on helping you get the property. Having debt-free companies and be personally debt-free was a massive advantage. So now looking to buy property for the gym. And if I do, I have the decision to make, which will be front end to me. Do I take the property I currently have or do I look at building something new? And if I did, I would build probably an auditorium like at First Form that we saw at the gym. So that way I could host a lot of these on site and be able to crush it at a lower level. And then also be able to allow certifications to come through my facility and make money on that, which is a revenue stream gyms don't consider and I want. But otherwise, got a meeting tomorrow with my hip surgeon to find out if I have the labral tear. And that's been on for about 3 years. So hopefully I'll get an answer. And then otherwise, good stuff, man. No complaints. Clients popping, clients signing up. It's all good. Gym's moving. Can't complain.
Jason, how about you?
Let's see. Today's my last day in the saddle. I am taking off completely Wednesday.
Can I say amen as his friend and business partner? Can we all just say thank God for this? He needs it, man. Awesome, Jay.
Yeah. So no check-ins, but because of that, I put out you can either skip the week or check in on Tuesday. Well, everyone's checking in on Tuesday. So I've been slammed today. I had to move a menteeship. I hate to do that, but man, it's been crazy. Like Jeff, having a good amount of client signups. That's always cool. Good to see. I'm in the talks with a friend and one of the top plastic surgeons in Cincy to open an HRT clinic. We'd be running it out of his business. It'd be an extension of his business. We'd all be 33% owners. And we're looking at pharmacies right now. We're in talks with them who we're going to sign. And then we're moving forward. I got to file the LLC and the EIN so we can go to the bank and we're going to get it rolling. So it looks like it's a go. So we're going to call it Advanced Vitology HRT and get rolling there. So things are in the works. I'll be honest with you though, man, this winter's just rough on me. I struggle, man. I struggle to get out of bed. I struggle just to do anything. It's going to be a long 10 years to be here. I make it through and April comes good. So
Jay, if no one's told you they love you, I do, buddy. Does that make it better? No, it doesn't. Okay. Well, I try.
Not really. It's 60 degrees here today, and I know Sue's got the same thing, and Jeff's probably maybe 10 degrees warmer, but it's just, ugh.
Oh, it's beautiful sunshine here. Nashville's great.
I just shoveled my driveway before I got on this podcast, so,
nice.
Well,
the only reason I have to wear a shirt today is because we're on live. I'm in Tampa, it's always putting shirts back on. That's always, it's never fun.
Well, I'll go next, and then we'll save the best for last because we've got Vince Pitstick on today. He's going to tell us what his last 7 days have been like. But, like Jeff and Jason said, I'm just cruising along, doing a lot of consults. My mentorship program is capped out. There's a wait list now starting for Q2. The Jeep Grand Cherokee that I bought, that I paid for, is not in my driveway yet because I think the salesperson just wanted to make a sale for 2021 Q4. And whenever the car actually comes in, right? Yeah. So I keep calling the dealership. They're like, yeah, it'll be here soon. And I was supposed to get it before Christmas. And now we're halfway through January and I'm driving the Bronco. And the other day it was so cold here. When I opened the door from the inside, the handle snapped. So I can't get out of my car now. I have to crawl over the passenger seat to get out of the Bronco, but I can enter the Bronco. I just can't get out of the Bronco. So that's what I'm dealing with right now. So Vince, how's your last 7 days been?
Well, listen, I think we all have that car story, right? I think we all have gone through that. I feel for you there. I will tell you this. So that's why I didn't order, because we were looking for a truck. because I'm in the market for a boat because I'm building a house out here on the water. And we were looking for a boat. I was like, I got to have a truck for the boat. And the problem is that like inventories, if you wanted to order a truck, I found out a buddy of mine had ordered, and then another one of my buddies ordered a Jeep, and they waited. It was 10 weeks. So past the due date. So you might be hanging on there for a little while, buddy. We'll see what happens. I hate that. It's just
some hardships will make you better, Sue. This is going to be a hardship that makes
supply chain, right?
Supply chain's fucked. We went to the grocery store yesterday and there wasn't shit on the shelves. It's a little scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild right now. So crazy, you know, it's been an amazing week. We launched a company that's affiliated with New Ethics called Wellness Mastery. Wellness Mastery is going to be an index resource of practitioners from around the world, providing courses that anyone, Susie Homemaker or the busy dad or the busy business worker or the person that doesn't value, that couldn't afford one of us as coaches. I've always had a problem in my heart with this thing about the gift of functional medicine that I've given my life to should not be relegated to the privileged. And I have a problem with this. And you know, I'm a spiritual guy too, and God's been on my heart about this. And like, so it was like, okay, well, what can I do to go back and like reach out and get these people at least involved or into a process? And so I partnered with a couple other people out of California, and we put the initial investment in to build really, I mean, high quality courses, well shot, you know, assessments that will figure out what your condition is and kind of walk you through steps on particular topics. And so the first course that the company Wellness Mastery launched is Flush Mastery, which is what we're going to talk about today. And so basically, you know, 80% of people out there are dealing with something where they're just stuck and they don't switch into a salad, ain't going to do it. But if you punch it, if you punch the liver, we're going to talk about the steps. If you punch the endocrine system, if you push a lot of water through it, and you give it a lot of the things that it needs and clear out the gut, you can shake probably 80% of the common issues that people deal with on a day-to-day basis without going knee deep into a submersed kind of functional medicine program where you might get yourself let down because you're not prepared for that. A lot of people don't understand it and are unwilling to make that big jump between, hey, I'm going to try a diet plan for $10 online, or I'm going to spend $1,000 a month for Jeff. You know what I mean? Or Jeff. Right. So it was like, what's that gap bridger? And so we launched Flush Mastery with a couple of dietitians and stuff and experts in that field. And basically it walks them through assessments. It gives them 3 hours of content and gives them a community to be supported. And the launch was incredible. We had over 350 on the launch before it opened by obviously all powered by New Ethics. Shout out New Ethics Formulations. And we think we're going to bring a lot of people to the hope that is functional medicine, functional nutrition, functional coaching. And then also have an opportunity. And any coach who's listening to this, if you've ever done the flush and you want a way to make $40 or $50 a pop, and you have someone who you can't work with who says, I have acid reflux, I have joint pain, I have this, I have that. And you don't have time to sift through all those people because we know what it's like, right? How many of us are hit with stuff every day on our social medias of people looking for help, but are unwilling to make the full investment, or you don't have the time to like fully service them because they're just not ready for you. Mm-hmm. You can recommend Wellness Mastery with your own links and become an affiliate and make $50 a pop off of that. And then that way, you know, cause you know how good the flush is. So if I can just at least get them that, maybe then they'll be prepared to take the next step. So we launched that. And so that was really, really big. And so there's a couple other things I'll save for later because I don't want to drag on. But that was the big thing, was the launch of Wellness Mastery.
Awesome. Yeah, I totally agree with that, Vince. I mean, it is a huge undertaking for us coaches whenever we have to troubleshoot a complex case. So that's why, you know, we do charge, you know, what we charge. And it's unfortunate that some people simply cannot afford us. You know, it's not a, you know, misbudgeting issue. They just simply don't have the money to spend, you know, $500, $600, $1,000 a month. So I think it's a great idea with what you're doing. Now, when we're approaching complex cases, that's what we're talking about today, is how we layer in the approach. What are the strategies? What is your like patented approach that you have? I think it's called flush, feed, function and fast.
Yes.
So right. Let's take an example here. So let's say a woman comes to you. She wants to come off of birth control. She has subclinical hypothyroidism. Her GI map shows dysbiosis, possibly SIBO, and you know she needs to get a SIBO test. So where do you start with something like this? Where do coaches go wrong? Let's start there. Where do people go wrong? And what's the better, more efficient, effective path to tackle a case like this? And then we'll get into your specific recommendations.
So it was very early on to me in my coaching career, and then working as a functional medicine consultant. So I was tasked with building nutrition health holistic programs inside medical practices across the country to give people an idea of where this comes from. How did I get this ideology and then this mechanism towards complex systems? If anybody ever hears me talk, I don't want to give you the answer to the problem. I want to teach you how to solve the problem. So how we approach complex systems is more important than the answer to the problem itself. And I think that's foundational in everything that I teach, whether it's the mentorships, the university or whatever, and how I practice in my own program. And the reason I got there was because as a functional consultant for over 9 years, working with doctors from all over, what happened was I saw how different doctors tried to approach the same complex issue, and every single one of them had their shtick, right? Like we all know the doctor that's got the hormones and everyone gets the pellet, or everyone gets the adjustment, or everyone gets the acupuncture, or everyone gets the dry needling, or everyone gets this medication, right? The concept or the idea that we're going to try this one thing on you and then see if it works, that's called inductive reasoning. Right. And it's an allopathic model. Okay. Where I'm going to test, I think it's this. I'm going to apply this one therapy to what I think it is and then work backwards, see if it was correct. But that model doesn't work when multi-systems are intertwined at different percentages of cause. Right. The list that Jeff just gave us. Well, is it the I feel like crap, Jeff? Is it how much of it's the SIBO? How much of it is the subclinical hypothyroid? How much of it is the birth control? Well, Mrs. Jones, we'll call her Mrs. Jones. It might be 20% SIBO, 10% thyroid, 15% nutrient deficiency, right? 30% hormone imbalance from the birth control and 10% stress. And then the rest is your lifestyle because you're a mess, right? Well, that doesn't do us any good then. So if I take that's why when anyone walks into a doctor's office that only does standard allopathic practicing, they've lost before they've even started. Because it's not about the answer, it's about how you approach your deductive approach to complex systems. And so me watching all these different doctors work on it, the same problems, they all had part of the solution, which is cool. Okay, that I see the benefit in that. No, I'm not saying everyone's entirely wrong, but it's just like mowing a lawn. If everyone's got 10 ideas about how to mow the lawn, but they only do one thing to do it, one person only mows, one person only waters, one person only suns, one person only irrigates, one person only seeds, you still have a shitty lawn no matter who you went to. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that I understood, ooh, if I combine all these things into a system, maybe we have a chance. So then I went on a journey and I jumped out, as many people who listen to this podcast, they're entrepreneurs, and they took the leap of faith. I had no clue that I could figure out how to organize all that into a model that really worked. But what I didn't know at the time is it was going to be the origin of something that was going to do great things for many people across the country, thanks to God. And it started with me playing with the routines. Well, let's start with the gut. No, let's start with the thyroid. No, let's start with glucose, right? And I listened to the practitioners and I would be lying to you if I didn't get it wrong 1,000 times. That's why I know what I'm talking about. I've done this more reps than anyone I know in my life. And I figured out that all the organ systems and hormones that were involved, primary ones, because you'll never know all of it. And then I figured out a step process. One, two, it's like power switches. You know, if the power goes out in the house, turn this off, this back on, this in a certain order. And you're more likely to get the outcome. Statistically, we do numbers inside of Nutrition Dynamic. Our success rate to the outcome, at least, or 3-month completion of a program where there's been significant success is about 88%. on complex problems. That's almost impossible. A good doctor, we'll put it this way, a drug is considered successful if in clinical trials, people can at least take one pill 50% of the time. So the bar is kind of low for success when it comes to real healing and health and vitality. And so to be able to get a percent like that said, okay, we've got something here. Now let's tell the world how we go about doing that. And so that's where you come up with the 4F system, flush, feed, function, and fast. And it's different than a lot of practitioners, and it's in a different order for a lot of different reasons. But the main reason is the clinical effectiveness. I know what the research says, but here's what the data in office is saying. And this is how we're going to run the model, and then we're going to combine it. So when you start with a flush, you're essentially, why don't I stop there? Any question? I'm rolling heavy, and I, you know how, yeah. I get, guys. I apologize.
Let's let Jeff and Jason ask any questions or provide any insight based off of their coaching experiences on tough cases first, and then we'll get to the next question.
Sounds
well. Great. I'll be honest. I mean, I think what he said up front was brilliant. That you can, because he went down a long road, but you can fix a lot of the issues with just, you know, simple approaches and things like that. I like that he mentioned that up front and then going on the path he did, but. I had nothing else besides that insight.
Well, the deductive model, right? The deductive model is that you, so like all of us know, someone comes to me fatigue. Okay. Without me even looking at a lab, if you tell me fatigue, I know that there's probably, and I've identified 12 things that are always involved, about 12, roughly 12. I don't know what the percentages are, but I don't have to. I just got to hit all the buttons. And then that's a more effective route than knocking out one of them 100%. If I knock out all of them at 50%, you're going to feel amazing. But if I only hit one at 100%, you're going to feel the same when you came in. So a deductive process is a theoretical model of basically, here are the things involved, and we're going to work backwards through them to test the theory. That's deductive reasoning versus inductive reasoning. And that's the number one, if any coach is out there, if they hear anything that I've ever said about one supplement or one thing, you must create a deductive approach to complex systems. So if you're a coach, and I have no effing clue, I don't know if you cuss on here, I have no effing clue, sure, what I'm getting into. Cindy Lou Who shows up with a whole bunch of shit and drops it on my lap, right? I don't want to teach you about Cindy Lou Who. I don't care about, not that I don't care about the person, I don't care about the case. I care about you instinctively understanding I can run into any burning building and have success if I've got the tool of system.
Yep.
Not the answer.
Yep.
Right.
I mean, in my mentorship, I teach it pretty much the same way. It's cool to hear Vince say it because he's always been my mentor in this stuff. And I do it a little different. I don't know about protein sparing, so I'm actually looking forward to get to that point. But I do rest, flush, feed, or function. You know, I just, because I want everyone to remember there's lifestyle issues and you got to get that rest in there. I know he does all that too. I've just put another R there because it helps me teach it to people.
Yeah.
But again, I always teach it. I teach the same way. I say, here's our system. Now we're going to plug and play in and out of the phases. And those are going to change based on what you're taking care of. So I'm right on board with this, but it makes sense because I've learned from Vince more than anyone in the field. So.
Yeah, the way I teach it is in my macros algorithm class, for people who have listened to this and have taken that class, I just say that the main root causes are usually stress, inflammation, and insulin resistance at the core of a lot of these issues. So if you can, you know, use deductive reasoning, right, and then backtrack into these very basic things, a lot of it's lifestyle, some of it's supplementing, you know, then you work your way up from out of the roots, so to speak. So now Vince, can you... What's that?
No, I was saying, good point. I mean, where Vince is going with this, if you walk through a mall, think about how many people probably need this kind of help.
Right.
All of them.
8 out of 10, brother.
Yeah. And that's a demographic that most people miss because they want all these complex cases. And some of them are just simple as insulin resistance, take some rest and understand how to do this and that. And low hanging fruit. Pete, you can build a successful business off people in a mall if you know what to do right.
This coaching group right here, everyone who's listening, I don't think the other three guys in this room realize how powerful they are, because I look at things like I'm the dreamer, right? Like Jason hears my crazy ideas and like I'm like the guy that's like, oh, we're gonna like change the world and like all this stuff, and everyone's like, can I just get through my day? And I'm like, no, The guys in this room right now have a deductive system that is more effective than 98% of physicians out there in the United States. And it's not because they're smarter. It's because they have a deductive approach, whether they called it that before, whether they understood it as that before. They have a deductive approach to complex systems that is not accepted in a 12 system model in the allopathic world. And I believe that if we all mobilize, and instead of being alphas on our own, that's why I love the crew, I love PEC, I love everything you're doing, that we're going to make such a huge splash that they're not going to be able to ignore us. And I believe the medical system is going to come to us. I'm already getting approached by hospitals. I'm getting too big picture. I know I'll back off about what are you doing? What can we use? How can we use health coaching in our medical model? I think in 10 years, if you guys continue to harness what you're doing, you are the head of a movement that I don't even think you know you're ahead of yet. That's what I believe. Just so everybody's clear on this thing. And these guys in this room, they've got it, every one of them.
Now, Vince, like, it's funny, you know, when I talk to my mentorship coaches, right? A lot of the newer coaches out there, they're all out there reading books and taking courses and all that stuff. And I always get questions like, well, I got this client with PCOS, so I'm supposed to do this, this, and this, right? We're supposed to take stinging nettle root. We're supposed to do this, take myo-inositol and all this. And they just jump right into just this condition, what you're supposed to do for it. Yeah. But I think it takes a long time of more research and education and working the cases to understand the true root causes and then working from the bottom up into and spreading the effects of progress into other areas and systems of the body. It's a different approach, different way of looking at it. Now for people who are listening who aren't too scientific, right, can you explain in very simple terms what this flush, feed, function, and fast really means? Like, take one at a time, just really quickly explain in simple terms if you can, please.
Well, just to touch on the last thing you said, Jeff did an incredible job of describing a circumstance where it would be very easy to say diagnosis, treatment. That's what just happened. Right. And we can do it in natural medicine all the time, right? The difference between a doctor and a functional consultant is that the main tool that they're using, if they're doing inductive reasoning, is not much different other than they're giving this pill and we're giving this supplement, okay? And it can't be that way. And so we've got to get our coaches out of protocol-based driven, not that protocols aren't good, based-driven programming and into reasoning-based, systems-based programming. And so the one that he just gave, he said PCOS. Well, I don't know if people realize this, but what we figured out by using a deductive model, instead of chasing androgens and insulin resistance, we understood that it's also got neuroendocrine dysfunction, okay, which is part of the thyroid pathway, limbic pathway, and that we knew that toxins were neuroendocrine disruptors, your medicines, plastics, things in foods, they're all neuroendocrine disruptors. And so ironically enough, my diabetes, my PCOS, my insulin resistance, they get better blood sugar results from eating carbs, but doing a detox, an mTOR detox, than they do from a PCOS straight protocol of just like low sugars, low carbs, myo-inositol. That's the second step. So if you don't follow in a deductive process, you will skip steps and jump right to what you think is the solution, and you will be 50% less effective because you missed all the other cofactors because you didn't slow down and check the boxes. And that's what I've learned, and I'm guaranteeing you is the truth. Anybody out there, if you're dealing with a condition, you're not dealing with one condition. You're dealing with 12 things that have all come together and made one condition. So you're better off to work a process that checks them all, which I'm going to explain now in simpler terms. What the flush is the first step of checks. Instead of chasing around, my doctor says I have SIBO, so I'm going to take this one product for SIBO. No, you'll never get it. You'll always be chasing your tail. It's fool's gold, right? Fool's gold. And so at least from a complex system, if you're just somebody with not many issues, oh, I've just got some bloating. Yeah, take a bloating product. But if you've been having systematic chronic issues, that you can't, that's not going to work. So you asked about the flush.
Yeah.
First F, what's the flush about? The flush has a lot to do with systemic inflammation that is built up. With inflammation comes fluid. The problem is the system has become stressed that it's not responding to normal other stressors, right? usually working out. They've already tried that. Usually, I don't know, just eating a new salad or just trying to, because every time you change your diet, you shift the microbiome, which is technically a stress, but you eat a salad for a week. Whatever the little things are, you took some B vitamins. The body's not, it's too systemically inflamed. That's not going to be enough. So in the model, okay, you've got essentially hypothalamus and ghrelin, which speaks to the fat cells, which is leptin. So you've got leptin and ghrelin. Then you got which is the hypothalamus. Then you got the pituitary. The pituitary is releasing a lot of different hormones that make a big difference. That's part of where actually leptin and ghrelin also comes from, but they're kind of intermittently tied between pituitary and hypothalamus. Then you got the adrenal glands. They're pumping out the DHEA, which is the first androgen hormone. And then they're pumping out the cortisol, which we all know cortisol. Then you got the thyroid, right? Then the thyroid jumps specifically down and speaks to, you've got the liver, gut, you've got your then glucagon, or you can just talk about, that's the hormone I like to discuss, which is really actually, insulin glucose metabolism, which directly dictates how you metabolize sex hormones. So those in a nutshell, you could add hypothalamus back again for melatonin. Those in a nutshell, if I can work a system that works with all those, but find a way to button it up, package it tight, and run a system, I start finding patterns and identifying outliers faster than if I just randomly jump around and go off your diagnosis. Because if the diagnosis is wrong or the treatment doesn't work, now I'm lost. What's step two, Jeff, Sue? If PCOS, you come in and you go, myo-inositol, ALA, green tea extract, NAC, phosphatidylserine, and then nothing happens. Would you just rotate a little bit of your macros and play around? You know, now people are scrambling. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Yep. Right. And then they're lost. And then that's why they got to pay us the big bucks, which is fine. You can keep giving me the money, or you can figure out a deductive process. And so the flush specifically, to then get some feedback from you guys, it's working. The hypothalamus and the pituitary, the adrenals, the thyroid, and the liver. That's what I'm coming in first. I'm initially stimulating those because that's where majority of metabolic rate comes from, the liver and the thyroid. So if I want to upregulate your metabolic rate significantly, yeah, in the rate of 10 to 15%, depending on the person, the heart's involved too, but that's another story for another day. That's a big user of energy. The muscle's involved too, of course, but we're trying to stay away from the organs and hormones right now. And if I shock them with paddles and I flush the system and I use glandular support to stimulate the adrenals and I use glandular support to stimulate the thyroid and I use glandular and plus a lot of different things that upregulate metabolism of the liver, metabolism is converting something into something else, essentially. And the net total amount that's happening inside the body is your metabolic rate, essentially, by and large. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to stimulate your metabolism because the first thing I'm trying to do is stimulate mTOR. And when you're really inflamed, usually hormones are dropping, muscles receding, bones declining. That's because the process of production of ATP inside the cell that's driven by mTOR. mTOR is how you make hormones and make, you guys know what mTOR is. You guys, look at y'all. You're jacked out of your mind. You're living on mTOR. It's mTOR all day, baby. But the idea is that we stimulate that first because that shocks the system, flushes out the gut, stimulates the liver, upregulates metabolism. And I know I'm giving you a lot. I know that wasn't that simple because complex systems typically aren't that simple, but that's the short of it at first.
Question before we go deep, can you say glucagon, and that's one that you don't really hear talked about much. And you kind of alluded to it. So I wanted to kind of get like a little extra on that before you went to the next step.
I don't believe so. It was interesting. I was going to mention to Jeff, Sue, He used the word insulin resistance. And I know what he means when he says insulin resistance, right? Because it's true. He's right. But actually technical resistance means a high number. So it would mean that like insulin would be high. Leptin resistance is a high leptin number. And so I've gotten away from, because you can actually have insensitivity at a normal hormone level Okay, yeah. We see it in bodybuilding all the time, and we see it in thyroid medication all the time. I know Jeff Sue sees this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I got competitors that have been cranking out 125 micrograms of T3, right? Ripping for 6 months.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We get that all the time. If I could show you the cases that we get now, it would blow your mind what's going on out there. That's why it's on us to set standards as community leaders in our industry. Not saying you can't do that for a short period of time. Someone can't tolerate it, but that's a whole nother deal. So when I get them to normal T3 levels, they are now hairs falling out. They're all the symptoms of low thyroid at normal levels in blood work. Does anybody know why that is? What could happen?
T3 pooling is potential, correct?
Huh? T3 pooling is potential. There's not enough cortisol to drive T3 into the cell. That is a potential. But I don't think you're going down that road. So,
but you're close. That's one of them. But I'll tell you the main one, and we find it in addiction. The addiction research is what broke the case for me because I couldn't figure out what the hell I was looking at. Why, when I, you know, it's like you look at labs, right? And this is another thing we got to keep our coaches from doing. It's not a game of like, get the level right in the middle. Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, true. Just get it right, right? Like, that's the game. And then all will be, it'll unlock the magic code to health. That's, even though we want to try to get levels to places where our population norms, that's all great and dandy. But you know, that's why symptoms overlaps, right? Like I can get people to lose weight on low thyroid, high thyroid, sometimes it doesn't matter based on the person and where they're at and their condition. But I think the greater point is the reason that I went here is that we found it in addiction because I didn't know what I was looking at. Bodybuilders, same thing, right? You guys all know there's like a normal amount of testosterone. You give a male, he'll respond. Then he stops responding and then you start adding more. If you're dealing with a very large competitor, then you got to figure out how much you got to give them until sex hormone binding globulin can no longer keep up with the exogenous, intake. And then you've hit another growth. But then after that, you know, there's just a point. There's a diminishing return. Now I got to start stacking, right? And I got to start hitting different pathways. And then you find out at some point, you got to dry that dude out. Right. So you could bring him back to normal levels, but I guarantee you for 4 months, he's got, or for 4 weeks at least, he's got symptoms of low testosterone on maybe 12,000 or 1200. And then with a free of, 25 or something, right? 20. And so what's happening is it's not the hormone. The hormone production, that's what resistance implies. When the cell's resisting absorption due to inflammation, the body will go, oh, okay, you don't want to absorb this shit? Guess what? I'm going to crank this thing up. And so then it's like more insulin from the beta cells, right? Well, when it's insensitive, in addiction model, right? And this is where I've worked with a lot of psychologists. We talk about dopamine's fasting. We talk about, dopamine intolerance. What happens when a drug addict uses too much of the drug? What happens is the dopamine receptors in the neurons die off. So there's double the surface area and half the receptor sites. So the amount of dopamine is adequate, but now it is inadequate to get, it satisfies the body's need for the amount, but you're not feeling the outcome because it's not getting the cellular expression and protein expression that you would need from receiving the message.
Mm.
Yep. So it's not about how high or low the message is, it's how well it's being received. And so then once a drug addict abstains from the use of a drug for at least 3 months, typically, it depends how bad it was. Some of them it's 6 months, some of it's a year. Some people don't respond for 3 years. Then those cells die off. New cells are born, those cells start having more receptor sites on it. And then those people can now engage in normal activities like eating, sex, working out, and get the same stimulation that the rest of people get. It's the same thing with hormones. And so I try to stay away from the idea that it's a high glucose or a high insulin, because I know a lot of cases, they're not gonna show that in the labs, and I don't wanna be fighting that. So I've moved away from talking about, I will talk about insulin because it's a hormone, But people, the one that people should be talking more about is glucagon, because it's really a glucose hormone.
So are you, can I stop right there? So are you saying that they could have good glucose numbers postprandial upon waking, but they've lost sensitivity or the receptors aren't open to the insulin, even though they have good numbers?
So glucose isn't technically a hormone.
Correct.
Okay? Right. And as you know, you can see in certain competitors better responses to carb loads physically, but their body's blood work looks the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Stress and inflammation play a role in how sensitive cells are to hormones in general.
Right. Regardless of the number in the labs being different.
Right.
But that's glucose. This is more particular to hormones. Okay. Now, hormones will impact glucose levels, most certainly. Right. We know that. Yeah. But not always. Right. We'll see high insulin, normal glucose. We'll see high glucose, normal insulin. Right. And so we're starting to recognize how deep this thing kind of goes. And we see it, leptin is the number one. Leptin levels are, you have to be very careful with leptin because it's still early with blood work and leptin. And they're going by BMI and then they're testing the leptin level and they're saying, all right, are you resistant? And the only way to know is if you're high or low. Well, that's not very accurate. And we know this now, just so everybody knows. I have a medical team and then I have an advanced team of 10 coaches. And we do experimental shit. We do rounds of it on the new stuff that's out there. We try to push the limits, whatever it is. We let the clients know that this is what we're doing because we're trying to create the programs of the future. So we run 24 case studies with these coaches under the advisement of the medical team. Then when we find that we have something reproducible, then we share it with my whole coaching team, which is about 45. Then they run case study trials on it with my other instructors, Kristen DeAngelis, Caroline O'Connor. And then once we feel that it's polished enough, we create a course out of it and put it in our university. That's how we're planning for futures of stuff for coaches having that just no one else has. We've started, did you know you can zero out leptin? You can do it using a drug called semaglutide. And I'm not using it as a weight loss drug, but you can zero out leptin. The early data, because even with normal leptin levels, and let me tell you what we're finding. If I zero out your leptin for at least 6 to 8 weeks, we're finding better responses to food once it's done, as long as it's done correctly. And the only answer to that is you're now more sensitive to leptin hormone. Because it's and what's interesting is when you lower leptin levels, it drops glucose levels. And leptin and glucose and insulin and ghrelin are all really responsible at the hypothalamus level for energy conservation or hunger. How much intake versus output? Back to classic CICO. Anyways, we're getting way off topic.
Let's circle back and sum up before we move on here. What you want to impart upon our listeners about the flush?
I apologize, guys.
What do you use? What do you do with diet, water, caffeine, any of the things that are kind of the important nuts and bolts?
Yeah. So, my power went out except to my computer, guys. So you see that? I just switched it. Speaking of switching switches, putting switches back on, power switches we just talked about. So, and that's not helping at all. So we're just going to turn that off. All right. We'll wait for the light to come back on. So in a flush, we primarily choose Mediterranean programming because it still has the longest amount of data for inflammation reduction. Okay. And it's really good for almost all hormones. Universally, we know that Mediterranean can be tolerated by everyone. It's relatively easier to eat, can be done in servings, or you can just give them the diet. I can say, here's the number of servings I want you to eat of like nuts, fruits, seeds, whatever. And we can get you to hit numbers that have the medicine in them that kick off and induce physiologic responses inside of the body. We typically go a little bit lower FODMAP, a little bit lower oxalate. I'm a big proponent of low oxalate diets. I think low FODMAPs become a bit of a slogan and not as clinically effective as people would say. Not that it isn't a good place to start from. Then I'm using agents that stimulate the thyroid, that stimulate the adrenals, that stimulate the liver. And I'm going with relatively higher carb, you know, my plans, and I push food. I know if I hit the liver and I stimulate the thyroid aggressively, almost overly aggressively, okay, I can feed you 500 to 1,000 to 50. I can almost choose what I want to feed you. And I would challenge every coach in here. If you do a flush the right way, you use the right foods, and you stimulate the thyroid and the liver very aggressively, the world's your oyster. I do it on purpose. Sometimes I'll feed a girl, I'll just give her 3,000 calories just to see if I can do it. And majority of the times they don't gain weight. And initially it's not about weight loss. It's about firing systems back on. So you need the calories. You need the mTOR, right? And my protein stays roughly right around 18%, 18, 20%. Carbs are about 50, 55. Fats are the rest. I'm focusing on monounsaturated fats. I will put in a little bit of some servings of seeds. So I got chia seed in this. So I'm getting some of the polys in there too, which there's debate on that. But and then I'm really lowering their stress. They're walking, you know, 30 minutes to an hour a day. I'm making them sleep a little bit longer if I can, especially in the beginning, doing cortisol resets. And that's how we essentially start a program. There's more to it, but that's.
So I use Nuethics Metapure and then some AdvaClear. Are you using that, or how do you work that in?
Yeah. So it depends how medically significant the protein content is. If I'm dealing with somebody who's gotten massive chronic disease issues, autoimmune disorders, I'm trying to get the protein down a little bit more, and there's more protein in Metapure. Mm-hmm. So I'll move to Ultra Clear with AdvaClear.
Okay.
If not, I use Metapure with our new product from Nuethics called OptiPure.
OptiPure,
which we're getting ready to release publicly to everyone else. We beta test some of the products first at Nutrition Dynamics, so I just have a little benefit of beta testing these things.
Yep.
Jason's been using it actually too. He's got his brand. It's a different bottle at this point, but it's switching over. So, and then I'm using ThyroBoost to stimulate the adrenals, or the thyroid,
yep,
as in the name. And then I'm using AdrenaHealth to stimulate the adrenals. Now it's more complicated than this, but it's very simple too. And that you can start right there.
Yep.
Most women though, I'm using Cortis. I use a combination because people are usually making cortisol at the wrong time. And so it needs to be suppressed in the evening and then pulled up in the morning, in the afternoon.
Yep.
So a lot of times I'm doing a cortisol reset first, where I'm using Cortis two every 2 hours for the first 2 or 3 days. And then I move Cortis to at 3 p.m. and at before bed. And I bring in AdrenaHealth breakfast and lunch.
Vince, I have a question now. Two questions, actually. First question is, do you obtain lab work or any sort of testing first before starting the flush? Because, for example, if someone had, Hashimoto's, you wouldn't want to use any glandulars containing thyroxine. Or if a cortisol pattern was not established, you wouldn't want to put adaptogens in, assuming based off of their symptoms, because you can make high higher or low lower. That's my first question. Second question is, a lot of people who come to us with these complex overlapping metabolic diseases also have very, very poor lifestyle habits and consistency and adherence and all that stuff. So how do you coach somebody like that who, you know, can't even follow a meal plan or can't even go to the gym twice a week and miss, you know, taking the 5 pills that they need to take, you know, per meal or whatever? How do you address those issues first?
That's great. So, you know, we're kind of, it shifts topic a little bit. Like, we have to assume whenever we teach something, we have to assume that it's the perfect model. And then we have to then deduce backwards to more complexity. Right. Gotcha. And so the first question is in regards to using glandulars in response to different autoimmune disorders. Mm. So one of the benefits of the process of rehearsing it as many times as I have, we would always love blood work up front. But we also know that people, you run your program pretty ingenious, which I love. Not every coach runs it that way though. So they're only dealing with a certain budget up front where they're asking their clients to pay for more labs. Normal basic labs will never identify the things that I'd be most interested in. Mm-hmm. So I mean, if they can get something from their doctor there, it's fine. I go way more off of how the body responds to the protocols than I do off the blood work or labs any day. And the best practitioners, I think, would all agree in this room that that's really what you do. Mm-hmm. I've created redundancies, Jeff, in my system that by and large, Cordy's has adaptogens in them that won't over or under stimulate too much. But I'll be honest, coming back to cortisol. So you said something that was really interesting. And I've debated this for at least a year in my head. If I don't know what their cortisol rhythm is, how can I just start using products and try to guess? And so the beauty is, instead of guessing, which is inductive reasoning, I don't guess anymore. I want to shut down cortisol function and then pull it up in 72 hours to regain what I call sensitivity. Okay. So if your cortisol is low, I'm going to make it lower and I'm happy to do it right at first. I know though, it's a pendulum. This is why with cortisol, it's a pendulum. If they're low and you try to pull them up, they're going to go high. If they're high and you try to pull them down, they're going to go low. So the fact that I know that is I'd rather control it. So I know what's about to happen. I want to anticipate where you're going to a certain degree of certainty rather than react to where you've already been. And so I will force your cortisol down, no matter if it's high, no matter if it's low. And then I'll come back with adrenal health and then I'll see how you respond. I don't find if I'm doing a flush and I'm using a detoxifying ingredients and I'm backing up support, using a little trace amount, the trace amounts of thyroxine that exist inside of ThyroBoost. They're only because they're exogenous inputs and they're very, very mild. I don't find that it stimulates a flare, right? If it was stronger, like, I don't know if I'd go in with 4 GTA Forte, like that's a little bit like I think you're to your point, you make a lot of good points on that. But I find that if it reaches about an 80 to 85% success rate off the front, then I'm willing to march in without any labs, see how your body responds, because I know I only got $300 or $400 or $500 that you're going to be willing to spend on labs, even at that.
Yep.
So I sometimes wait to see how your body responds to the flush to figure out, do I want a stool test? Do I want a Dutch test? Do I want my metabolic damage blood work? Do I want just an overall base panel? I don't want to proverbially blow my load on a base lab up front and then pull your teeth to get your labs later of the thing that I know now I need. So I use my flush as my marker. Now, if I've got a client that's a perfect one and it's plenty to spend all the money and all that, I'll get my standard male profile or female profile blood work up front, run through, but then I always almost want a Dutch. So now I'm doing blood work. Now I'm doing your bloods or your hormones twice. So it's just a game. And I use the flush to differentiate which way I'm going to go. And then the last thing that you had mentioned was
poor lifestyle habits and adherence. Compliance.
So I've created a whole course on all the different ways that you can manipulate a flush and baby people and the best way to do it. And there's a lot of things I could suggest. Make them shove it all in a fucking smoothie 3 times a day, all the stuff that they don't want to eat. So they don't have to think about it. And then just have them control lunch and dinner and give them a protein, you know, carb and fat. Take your pick. Don't count macros. Just try to hit these numbers. Take your pills, take your shakes. And if you can't work out, don't worry. All I need you to do is walk. You know, and if you can't even walk, then I don't know if you're ready for this program. And we need to put you with a lifestyle coach. That's why I've got some. Sometimes it happens and says, hey, we can't do outcome coaching anymore. We need to do lifestyle coaching. And it's just like drink water every day. You're not even ready for functional coaching at that point. I can't heal you if you can't drink water and walk.
I agree. And I think, you know, before we jump
in, you say that one more time, you can't heal someone without water and walking, because most people be like, yeah, well, we're not going to, they just focus on, yeah, no, we know. All right.
Yeah. You know, Jeff, Jason, I think Vince, I think there are some people out there who are listening to this podcast, how Vince is like, yeah, I feed them 3000 calories just to start. They're going to go out and have like a large cheese pizza tonight and be like, yeah, I'm flushing.
I I know. It's what you're eating, and we could get into a whole thing. Yeah. Low glycemic
index. That's what this means.
Yeah. All right. Can't do it, though. You can't if you don't stimulate the liver and the thyroid. Listen to me, people out there. If you don't know what products you're using, this is a symphony, baby. And it's all got to be done in a maestro. It's all got to be done in a symphony. And if the trumpet don't trump and the drums don't go at the right time, you're just going to end up with a bloated mess.
Yeah. Yeah. So Vince, now let's talk about the feed portion of this, and then we'll get into function and fast. Quickly explain what you're doing during the feed. What are some of the high level specifics, and what are you looking for during this next phase?
So now the feed phase is, I've already kind of bumped their calories because they've gone into flush. And now what I'm looking to do is increase them more, because before I go down, I want to get you as high as I can to optimize your hormones, optimize a lot of reduce inflammation using food as best I can. And I want to heal the gut. Now, sometimes people have such a bad gut, though.
They can't feed up.
You can't feed up. So then you're going to have to wait on the feeding up. And the feed phase is about feeding the gut what it needs to heal. Getting rid of as much immunological inflammation, because that's one of the key inflammatory things that you can't just pour ginger on. There isn't enough ginger on the planet to get rid of gut and immunological issues, because it's constantly producing inflammation.
Yeah.
So, and it's the root, and everything stems from that. But you don't, people will tell you to start with the gut. I don't agree with that. My methodology has worked better for me, and whatever your thing is, that's cool too. No problem. It's all right. People have great success the other way. So I'm doing everything gut. The focus on feed is to work gut and glucose. Glucose will move into function phase two, but now that I've fed you up, get rid of some inflammation, work the gut. Now, inflammation is the key to glucose insensitivity, typically. Then you've got, again, glucagon coming in back end, manipulating glucose levels, manipulating through the liver, through the liver, and the AR receptors, which are your androgen receptors in the liver, okay? We'll come back again with competitors with high glucose levels. You don't have a glucose problem. You have a glucagon problem. And so, you know, that's why glucose can be high for a whole nother reason, which is why I get away from the, you know, the resistances and some of that stuff. Cause it's tough. Right. So anyways, I start trying to optimize those, and I'm working through that process. To keep this short. Again, more Mediterranean foods going up. Protein starts going a little bit higher, cause I'm adding some training back in. Carbs might come down a little bit. It depends on the condition.
Gotcha. Okay. So now let's move into function. I know, Jason, you don't have to run, do you?
No.
Okay. We got time. All right. So Vince, let's talk about function next.
Vince might have to run. I don't know. I know he's on a schedule for me.
We'll keep some of it. Well, we could always leave him in suspense. And function is, come back with Jeff and Jason right here. So in function phase, there's a couple things that can happen. This is when the body's metabolism now. You've taken the lawnmower out of the garage. That thing was dead as hell. Ain't ran in years. You put some oil in it. You put some gas in it. You primed it a little bit. And now you're firing it for the first time. And again, when, you know, to get something to fire, we're thinking, when we think of firing, we're thinking of the metabolism, right? Think of the metabolic rate. That's why I've got this fire from my metabolic mentor, right? Think of your metabolism like a fire. How am I going to get this flame on? And I'm thinking about hormones and hormonal axis. And I'm thinking about how to get that back in alignment. So hopefully I'm still getting glucose more sensitive by feeding most people up. If you get the inflammation down and carbs up, that's the fastest way to make someone sensitive to carbs, not taking carbs away. Keto will do it too, by the way. Don't get me wrong, right? Okay, so I don't want to take that away. But by and large, you know, if you feed them the right carbs and get them the inflammation down, sensitivity will return. And then I'm manipulating sex hormones. You don't start with sex hormones, never. If you start with sex hormones and you haven't dealt with inflammation, gut, and everything else, you got a mess on your hands that you just tied a knot. Good luck getting out of that. It's like a Chinese finger trap. The more that you struggle, the worse it's going to get. When you're playing, now you're frantic. And I know all you coaches listening out there go, yep, I know exactly what he's talking about. When I'm just grasping for straws, throwing shit at the wall, hoping what sticks, because now I'm lost because I don't have a process. Not an answer, a process, right? So now I'm working through the different, I mean, we could go a million different ways talking about estrogen dominance, you know, hypoandrogenism. Hypogonadism, you know, whatever the person's dealing with, getting that as optimal as I can, because I'm trying to get the body optimized to move from a sugar burning state, which I've been feeding it up, into a fat burning state. Most inflammatory diseases are metabolic diseases. And that means that they have an impairment in their metabolism, which pretty much puts to bed this idea that it's about calories in, calories out with everything, although it's important, right? And I'm setting the body up for lower calories because I've been feeding it up, right? And you all are lucky for getting this, by the way. I sell this program for a lot, and I love these guys. We're giving it all right here, giving the secrets away. Yeah. Right? I want people to have this information so they can be empowered, right? Give it away and then pay you to organize it, right? We all do.
Now, Vince, what you said, I just want to echo what you said about, not touching the hormones first, because a lot of people don't understand that, you know, inflammation and stress and insulin insensitivity, okay, not insulin resistance, right? Maybe we can
say love it, baby. I love it, right? So we'll decide when we use it. Like, you were dead on. Like, you're a fire. You know what you're doing.
Little change in verbiage there.
Yeah.
It change basically how your body prefers certain pathways and metabolizes certain hormones, because obviously if you are in a stressed and aroused state, there are systems that direct energy or hormones or whatever down certain pathways to support that, to get you out of flight or fight. So if you just go and push hormones, you can make things worse. And you can look into the touch test or whatever, you know, more. But now let's move into the last part of this four-step process. And this is the fast. And this is where Jason, I think, is most curious about this protein sparing diet. And I don't know anything about it. So tell us what is entailed in the fast.
So this part, this is the one where, when I talked about the research, just so everybody knows, I went out for like 3 months. I traveled the country. I went to fasting centers. I've studied the work of Dr. Volter Longo. I've worked and built programs with Dr. Daniel Pompa, who is considered revered as one of the top practitioners in the world of fasting. Okay. When we talk about fasting, everyone hearing that word, we're not talking about not eating food. So wrap your mind around that for a second. Not that that isn't a tool. Okay. It's typically not a tool for people who are already under eat. I don't want to get into that. When we talk about fasting, it's the new year, or maybe if you're someone who's into Lent, you can get rid of one thing, right? Like, hey, you know what? I'm going to stop binge watching Netflix. That's a fast, right? If something holds power over you, whatever it is, and you're doing it every day, social media, people are doing that right now. They're fasting social media. What you're doing is taking something that's a constant and then removing it to try to help the body, help your mind, whatever. So I'm willing to share, because there's this has so many layers to it that if I say too much, we're not going to be able to get to it all. But long story short is glucagon, being one of those hormones that's off, is then keeping the liver in an AR agonist. The liver is an AR agonist. So liver activity typically works with androgen receptors. So anything that modulates androgens modulates the liver. That's why Metapure is so damn important. Heavy amount of androgen receptors exist inside the liver. Look it up. Okay. So if I take steroids, you know, that's why insulin glucose levels will go up. And one of the reasons is you're inducing glucagon, you're inducing AR receptor activity in the liver. So the body, though, just like diabetes, okay, or pre-diabetes, gets used to finding a certain fuel source in the presence of high stress or low calorie. You know, people always want to talk about the law of thermodynamics, but they never want to talk about energy appropriation and how the body chooses what energy source it uses. Okay. Am I going to eat collagen today? Am I going to eat protein today? Am I going to eat fat today? And people act like it's just a given that your body's going to eat fat. That is not true.
Right.
It is not a given. And based on your genetics, what you've been doing to your body for the last 3 months, which we'll call adaption, whether it's pro or maladaption, right? And then, you know, hormone balance will dictate in high stress environments, in lower calorie environments, where your body's going to try to get immediate energy. Mm-hmm. That's why simple carbs are not bad. If you pull simple carbs away forever, at some point you become protein adapted, because your body needs immediate energy. Just because you stop feeding it, Your body cannot tap into a 9-calorie fat molecule in the same speed that it can break down sugar, fructose. Mm-hmm. It needs immediate energy to deprive it of that. And you think that your body's going to work optimally because carbs are bad. You are sorely mistaken.
Right.
You, not that you shouldn't take them out seasonally. Okay. Yeah. But the idea that if you restrict something from your diet, so I don't like dogmatic diets, right? Because you get so stuck doing one thing, your body goes from pro-adaption to maladaption. You know, if Jeff Black kept doing the same bicep curl every single day for, at some point, not only is the bicep not going to grow, it's going to get smaller, right? It's actually going to have an atrophying effect. It's the same thing every single day without the recovery, whatever. So same thing here. So you got to shake your macros around. And again, this is a bit proprietary because we're doing some crazy stuff right now and we're getting ready to release some information. There's a few things on this, but some of this does exist out in the open market. So we've been studying, I'm launching a program with Dr. Daniel Prompa to figure out different heights, weights, sexes, and what you've been doing to your body and how we can rotate protein fasting or dropping protein to a lower amount. We see it in keto all the time, right? You guys know this exists. Keto works better on low protein. It just does, unless you're dealing with a bodybuilder who can pretty much take in protein and fats and switch those ratios. But you're seeing better ketosis levels at lower protein. Why? Because you're getting rid of the neoglucogenesis activity inside the liver.
Glucagon effect.
Yes, right. And you're bringing back hormone sensitivity because you're shutting down glucagon. Right. So what is that value? In other people, it is different, but we've been testing it. And then not to mention everybody who thinks you're going to go out there and fast. Okay. This is why the fasting community has now adopted my Flush program. And that's where I've started working with a lot of the biohacking community. I've been in talks with so many different doctors because they're starting to realize that the worst thing you can do to somebody is fast them all the time. So guess what? The fast don't work without the feast. Okay. So anybody who's thinking, oh, I'm just going to eat less and keep eating less and then I'll just fast. You are wrong. The only way that it works is if you go into mTOR first, and then one of the ways to draw in something called AMPK, which is ketosis, fasting, a form of autophagy. Okay. mTOR, AMPK are the ones, the energy resources that the cell uses the mitochondrial level to, you know, balance energy reserves and energy demand and use of energy resources. AMPK. The one way to manipulate that is not carbs. Everybody thinks it has to be carbs. You can actually draw an AMPK by getting rid of protein. So if you get the protein to a certain amount, after you fed them up the right way, and there's, again, so we're studying the science of exactly how many grams that is based on body weight, height, and sex, that you can now all of a sudden switch that. And it works. And then you figure out how to toggle it, just like you would a carb cycle. And you create these shifts and these, remember these, like you're trying to stimulate the system and shock it. It's called hormesis, right? That's why an ice bath works. Ice baths get rid of a bacteria called acromantia, which then helps you lose weight, right? Or makes you healthier. So I know we got really skyrocketed into that, but in the fast program, essentially what's happening is I'm choosing one of the macros to fast. I'm usually, it depends. Maybe the macro I'm fasting is carbs. Maybe the macro I'm fasting is fats. Maybe you do better on low fat. Maybe the macro that I'm fasting is protein. And then I'm putting you into an alternate, feed fasting rotation where now I've already made your body hormonally healthy. So now I can beat on you a little bit. Now I know that you're sturdy. I made this chair sturdy enough so I can sit my 200 pound, probably only 195, sadly enough, ass in this chair, and it will handle me. So after I've gone through flush, feed, and function, now I can beat on your body responsibly because your body requires that to get some of the results that you want. But it's got to be able to handle the stress of the load. You come in broken from all the shit you've been doing, and I come in here and start kicking the shit out of you with 3 hours of cardio and 7 days of training. I'm just, you know, I'm irresponsible to understanding where my client's at. So that's why the system exists, flush, feed, and function, and fast. It's the future of medicine, in my opinion. It is definitely the future of functional coaching.
Can I ask a few questions?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
You can tell me if you can answer them or not. So is this something that always occurs? What if you have someone you fed up and they dropped weight during that. So they seem to, you know, be responding. And then you pull maybe 50 carbs and they drop and they respond. Is there a need for this?
That's the best part. So remember, this is a deductive model. The best part about a deductive model is I'm not assuming it's all or nothing, just like a drug. Yep. A drug either works or it doesn't, right?
Yep.
What I'm saying is I'm going to start with my flush system. I'm going to move to feed. And the minute shit turns back on and starts behaving normally, I'm out. I'm good. Right? So if they respond to the flush and then the feed phase, I don't ever get to that. I will sometimes. I've got tricks up my sleeves that I know I can get your body to respond in a jam or something if I needed to. But no, I'm not going any further because we've solved the riddle before I had to get to steps 7, 8, 9, and 10.
And then my other question is have you ever done it with keto? So in other words, you're getting 15, 30 grams of protein.
100%.
I don't know if that's trace or if there's some drats direct, but then you just use veggies and then you're using higher fats. Have you done that with someone and then maybe refeed them to get your high days? Cause you said you need to rotate in high days.
Yeah. So you bring up an interesting point, right? And with the carbs and the different things. And so it depends how adapted somebody is. Sometimes you can leave carbs and Okay. Autophagy is what we're talking about. And this is a whole nother concept. Long story short, you can create autophagy a bunch of different ways. Faster resistance training, ketosis, low carb, low protein. There's a lot of ways to do it. And it depends on the person and how adapted they are. I can take a bodybuilder dude, a big guy, and I can leave carbs in. And if I drop protein enough, he's in autophagy, but his body will adapt at some point, and then I got to go lower. We all understand this. When we add cardio to somebody, we give them 10 minutes of cardio. It works. Now they stop losing a pound per week. Now I go ahead and drop carbs, 25 grams, add another 10 minutes of cardio. What is that? They're adapting and we're adjusting, right? So we understand this method as prep coaches. So with protein fasting, you'll just have to, you know, anything usually starts in the beginning if you play with it, and then you learn how you get down there. And I love keto with protein fasting. Yes.
Cool. Okay. I don't have anything else. I know he wants to protect some of his things. I've got an idea what he does. Anyone else?
We can always talk, Jay. We can always have another conversation, right? With it. But the goal is eventually that I'm packaging. Here's the scary part, Jay, and to the rest of you guys. Do me a favor on this topic, because I know you're all going to start researching. Be very careful what you share, because these coaches out here, I saw it, and then they start fasting people, and then they start they're gonna mess it up. They're gonna injure each other. Clients are gonna hear this. They're gonna go injure themselves. This is more people will screw this up than use it correctly. So it has to, once you figure it out, be careful who you share this information with, because it's a gun that they'll shoot themselves in the face with. But I'm telling you, protein fasting is the future. I said it here first. Everyone's going to be doing it. It is the future.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think we'll put a little disclaimer on this one then for those listening, that it's not something that you just listen to once and then start parroting on social media and call yourself a pro at it.
Yeah, don't do that.
That goes on far too often in our industry. I see it. I usually don't say anything because I think their heart's in the right place, but I think there are a lot of coaches out there who are doing far more damage than good without even knowing it. Yeah. I'll just leave it at that. Now, Jeff, do you have any anything to add to this? Any sponsors that we have or anything about the PEC that's coming up in Dallas?
Damn, PEC. Yeah, do we have anything going on?
Yeah, what's up with that, Jeff?
I was just going to say it was funny because I was listening to Andy Frisella's podcast this morning. He went on a rant about people and their mentor shit and how people need to stop buying it if they're fucking. He's go look at their headquarters. Go look at their businesses. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that's the equalizer that no one wants to see. 22-year-olds giving out fucking life advice. But anyway, we got the PEC. Yeah, we got the PEC. Yeah, fuck you on your life advice at 22. But anyway, we got the PEC 5, Dallas, January 28th, 29th. We have the VIP tickets. I think we got two of those left, maybe three. It includes a workout with us at Hitting Gym that Friday, the
11th. If you buy the VIP ticket, I will teach you more. I promise you now, I'm saying this. I will privately, because you're in my presence and it's not online. You want to hear more about these secrets of the protein fasting? I will share some of them if you buy the VIP ticket.
Oh, well, that's sold right there. And you know what I will do?
See, this is what Vince is going to do. If we order steaks, you're sitting next to Vince. He's going to take your steak and eat it. And that's going to be
protein. Why did you just tell him? I'm like, hey, your first lesson in protein fasting? Give me your shit.
Yeah, give me your shit. It's going to be like high school. It also includes us covering your dinner so you don't have to bring your wallet. And we have that Friday night after the first lineup presenters gets through. I think that's at 6:30 or 7. TheExcellenceCartel.com is the website where y'all can purchase your tickets. Guys, we got about 20 left. Everyone waits the last minute, but please don't wait last minute because we had to turn some people away at the last minute at Denver last year. So do not wait. We also got John Jewett joining this panel, Laura Conlin, Brandon Cruz, JR Simons, go over strength finders, Jamie Filers going over systemization. I'm going to go over leadership and how it can 10X your business, not the Facebook groups, y'all think. And different stuff like that. We actually got a really cool panel. Am I missing anyone? Am I missing anyone on that? No, Austin. Austin's doing neurotransmitters. Oh, he's got
He'd be hurt.
Yeah, that's going to be a good
fanny pack would be hurt. Yeah,
yeah, the fanny pack. And then, you know, you've got the modeling competition between myself, Jeffrey Sue, and Jason. But after seeing Vince dress a few times and sweat through about 5 shirts on site, I feel like that I've got to bring 7 for this preparation bath that will go on. But, guys, the tickets are on the Excellence
Cartel. I was sweating on a podcast. Look at this.
I know. You're done. It's disgusting. But anyway. TheExcellenceCartel.com. And guys, I'm going to go ahead and throw you all a bone. The reason you guys want to go to this one, it's going to be a few months before we do another one, but the next one, we'll go ahead and throw it out there. It's going to be in Tampa by the
end. Tampa, baby.
We'll be going into Vince's backyard after we finish Dallas. But you want to catch this one because I promise you it's going to be a little bit of time. And then hopefully we can maybe live stream it. We got a bunch of cool things coming your all's way as we go to upgrade, but we look forward to spending some time with you all in Dallas. And that Saturday night, we're going to go out and hit the town somewhere. So we're all going to have a good time. But Vince, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. You know, you all inspire me. You all motivate me. Keep doing what you do. And let's keep changing lives. Let's do it.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in, and y'all have yourself a phenomenal day.
See ya.
See ya.